It's been an amazing decade for comedian Devin Green, the YouTube sensation best known for her celebrity vanity video parodies, and for bringing to life Mrs. Betty Bowers, America's Best Christian.
Throughout her career, Devin has taught improv and inspired comedians and drag queens to zhuzh up their charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And she even made an appearance as a comedy coach on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Today, Devin Green joins us to take a look at her creative process as a teacher, her passion for playing the ukulele, and working with some of the world's top and bottom drag queens.
Plus, why drag queens still struggle with comedy and celebrity impersonations on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And hello, this is Feast of Fun. Come in, make yourself comfortable.
Welcome to my podcast.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people like you. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun for behind-the-scenes goodies. And consider giving us a tip in our tip jar at feastoffun.com/donate.
A bitch, I don't want you back here. I don't want you. I don't want your pamphlets.
Hi, is this Feast of... Hi, is this Devin Green?
Is this Feast of Fun? If so, I want you to come in. Please. I insist.
Whoa, what's going on there?
Nothing, nothing.
What do you got a party going on?
So what? Hi, I'm happy to hear from you.
Devin, grab your ukulele and run.
I got the po-po.
Please press 1 to be connected with podcast hosts Fausto Fernos and Mark Fillion. Para español, oprime el número 2.
And if you want it in Canadian, just press 2, eh?
And to end this call, just hang up.
Mm. Yeah, run.
But please don't.
Oh, there's so much to catch up on.
So, Devin, you used to be the voice of Movie Phone in Canada,
correct, right? Yeah, I was the very first one. Yep.
Oh, wow.
What did you do to audition for that role?
There was no audition.
They just went up to you at a truck stop and said, "Hey, you, come with me, girl.
Hey, you with the golden pipes. Giddy up. Hop on over here."
Like, did you leave a voicemail to audition for the role?
No, because you know the other end of it. This was such a new technology.
What year are we talking about here? The 1800s?
It had to have been like, you know, I've been in Los Angeles for 20 years, so I was just a youth. Mm. And I knew somebody at Cineplex, the theater there. Mm-hmm. And there was this phone system. They asked if I could do the phone system, and I said, "Well, right." And then they were going to get a movie system, and they said, "Can you do a little bit of basic French as well, because Canada is bilingual?" And I said, "Well, of course." Very pompously.
I'm sure if I heard
any of the old recordings now, they'd be absolutely mortifying. Mm. But you know, it's that thing where someone says, "Can you make it sound Italian?" Well, an adult would be, "Well, I don't know Italian." A performer would be, "Pronto, c'è la frutta lasagna." You
know? It's about saying yes to everything.
Yeah, well, show us what you can do, not what you can't. Mm. I don't need to know what you can't do. So if you're not feeling well or you're sick, I don't care if you can't hit the high C. Show us a B flat.
Or a big D. Mm.
Anything else for that.
Oh, you will.
So I do have some other good oil coming out. I'm in the new Addams Family film coming out in Halloween.
First of all, I'm excited there's a new Addams Family film.
Yeah.
And that you're in it.
Is this a cartoon or it's a film?
Or a public service announcement?
Bette Midler, Charlize Theron, Nick Kroll. There's a ton of really great people in it. I'm so excited. I actually do a couple of characters.
What?
Who do you play?
Mrs. Gravely and Judy Trumbull. And it's very, very exciting. I'm really excited because obviously I've read the script. It's very funny. And Conrad Vernon is behind it, and Alex. And he did Sausage Party.
Oh, that was a really good movie.
So this is an animated new Addams Family film. And so there's a lot of voiceover talent being involved in it. And you're attached to this movie.
It's only voiceover talent.
Well, it's not like Mary Poppins where they're going to be having you dancing with Cousin It or something like that.
Exactly.
Are you going to look anything like yourself, or is that too close to Morticia that they're like, no, we can't touch
honestly
that?
Exactly. I'm Morticia adjacent. I have no clue what I look like.
Wow.
I'm really excited to find out, though.
Was that hard to play a character that you didn't kind of know what you were going to look like, or...?
No, when people call me in, they didn't know that they, you know, I get called in because people know what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not, you know, there's no disclarity at all. I'm pretty clear with the choices that I make, and I have a lot of latitude, and I really listen if someone's like, can you try it 10 different ways? That's where I'm most comfortable. Oh, of course I can do 10 different ways. But, you know, as with artists, you have to know where to pull from.
Yeah.
It's most people, a lot of shitty performers will just be louder, softer. And volume is certainly not a character choice. It's a volume choice.
Mm. I don't mind getting loud, though.
If you're asked to do 10 different ways and all your only choice, your go-to is volume, that's not a choice. That's one choice.
Mm-hmm.
But what else do you have? When people say, hey, have fun with it, they don't mean just to go louder.
Oh, yeah. I've always noticed bad actors when you're watching a show and the emotions are high. They're like, I'm not acting. You know, they're screaming like Joan Crawford, Faye Dunaway, and Mommy Dearest. I just can't stop thinking about that bad acting that Faye Dunaway did in that movie. But I think that she was trying to channel a bad actress. Like in other roles, Faye Dunaway doesn't behave that way, does she?
Well, let me ask you this. I don't think she can. You know, it's like I told you before. I don't think dumb blondes consider themselves dumb in the moment. It was. I'm just
Faye Dunaway is writing a hot letter to you right now.
Oh God. Well,
dear Devin Green, I want you to keep my name out of your mouth.
Well, if you look at what she the same year that she did Mommy Dearest, she also did the Evita Perón story. It was a made for TV movie, and the acting is pretty much the same.
And she also plays exactly the same character in Supergirl as Selena the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, Faye Dunaway really well.
She had at one point in time won an Oscar, right? Didn't she win an Oscar?
For playing Faye Dunaway in the Faye Dunaway story.
Yeah. You want a Faye Dunaway type, but not Faye Dunaway herself. Actually, you know, if you look at something like Showgirls, you know, it was sort of universally considered a send-up, but at the, you know, when they were shooting it, from everything that I've read, everybody thought it was like really great, and it was a really earnest sort of film. Nobody knew that it was really off note the entire way through.
Well, you know, some of the people we've interviewed, a lot of people involved in the
Patrick
project,
Bristow.
And they say that you know they're like, you know, we kind of like, there was one day on set where something happened. We're like, oh wow, this is gonna be something, or like this is gonna be something. But they were just still kind of like, I think in hindsight they look back on it like this was the thing. But at the time they were kind of like, it was too, you know, it's the fog of war. They didn't quite know what was going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. So how do you be artistic? How do you lead an artist sort of life, especially to find balance in all of it? How do you move forward? And I know that you had mentioned the book, The Artist's Way. For me personally, I don't need to look to someone for inspiration or motivation. Mm-hmm. I've never needed that because I always consider myself essentially an island, when just by the fact that I was growing, when I grew up quite isolated.
Uh-huh.
But now it's probably because of that, the angle that I have when I look at the videos, like I did several Trixie Mattel videos for her show, and Varla Jean, and I was in Katya's Shame video. I think it's because I wasn't in the moment watching it, I have just such a skewed view of going, oh my God, what an unusual thing, like that 50s to 80s footage. It's just catnip to me. I just love it so much.
Well, it is a kind of a show business cliche, right? The actor, singer, model, the jack of all trades and master of none. But one of the things I've noticed in interviewing a lot of artists, and and you really fit into this, is that learning one style of creative expression can really invigorate your main passions. And so, for example, like when Mark was in Norway last year, I learned to play the harmonica because I was thinking, it was like, what has Devin Green done throughout her life that kept her excited, kept her engaged? And to me, is like a big turning point in your career was when you learned how to play the ukulele.
It doesn't matter what I do. It's all the exact same thing to me. It's all performance. So it's all based off of, you know, my figure skating background. So it's all lighthearted based. I really don't do anything that's, hey, this is really serious, let's everybody take a knee sort of thing. But it doesn't matter if it's music or doing images, dance, writing a book, apps. It's all the same. It's all performance to me because there's something interactive about what I do. I would never want anyone to go, oh, just look and then walk on. There's something that would connect us and temper the viewer in some way. And usually that tempering is a permission or a liberty for the person watching just to be free. not mean spirited.
Is that a prerequisite to getting your humor?
I don't have high, but
well, are you saying that you pretend to be dumber than you really are? Because like for a while you got on a reality TV show where you were like, the whole premise was that you can't cook, and you're just like, you were like Melania Trump in that design video. You know, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, I'm having fun.
You really can't cook, though, right?
I really cannot cook. Yeah. I look at the other night, I just put some spaghetti into two pieces of toast and called that a day.
Well, is this like you feeding yourself, or is it like if friends come over?
Here's your feast.
Oh, no, I do old school. I do because I found all these books about entertaining, I guess it was maybe the 60s or the 70s. Yeah. And they all had these ridiculous platters. Everything was a visual platter. You just stuck a toothpick in an olive and shoved it into a cracker, and that's like an hors d'oeuvre.
do you follow the artist's way, like Julia Cameron's book? Do you like write 15 minutes uninterrupted in the morning, or go on artist dates by yourself?
I absolutely do not do that. Some people need that as a catalyst for every day. But honestly, I wake up first thing in the morning and I can't wait to get up. I create my own work. So with something like Goliath Magazine, I said, hey, I'm also going to write the column, but I'm also going to provide the images. And I'm also going to do interviews now with artists. Mm. And they're like, and until someone says no, I just keep doing stuff. Mm. So that's what I've been doing. I create my own work. So that's my own motivation. Oh, okay. I've got, I got to get up and I'm ready. And then I play music in the afternoon and get ready for a show. And usually every day, oh, I've got an idea. So even though that not all ideas may come to fruition, I will really investigate them because there was a kernel, there was something there. But a lot of people really do need a structure.
Mm-hmm. And a regular habits in order to sort of like get them out of their shell and get them thinking.
This is all I do, though. This is all I do. And, you know, I'd be more inspired by nature than anything else. So do I ever have a creative block? I've just never experienced it. I haven't plateaued out. I feel like every year I get more and more energy, whatever venue I'm going down.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people quote you and stuff. And that was the thing that I quote to Fausto the most is the thing you said to me is like, if you want to keep on going, you just have to keep on going because it's that momentum is the thing that carries you. And it makes it easier if you just don't stop.
Yes. As long as it's, you have to ask yourself where it's coming from though. If you feel like you're being chased or your end goal is fame, you are going to not have a very good artist's journey at all. That fame can be an absolute monster. It can tear at your soul because you rely, it's an ego-based thing and you have to let go of your ego, not read comments online because people wear the mask of anonymity and write all sorts of things. And most people obviously, oh God, I have to defend myself. Well, I'm not going to convince you to understand what I've done. If you enjoy it, great. If not, guess what? There's a thing called YouTube or Vimeo or nature. So go and find something you can appreciate. But if your whole agenda every day is to go and knock down other people, you really need to examine yourself. I am certainly not going to play into that or give it any gasoline or validate you in any way. I simply don't respond.
We used to read comments and stuff like that, especially on the iTunes store. And like I discovered just like, you know what? It's especially don't ever read it before you go to bed at night because then you start to do it. But I think after a while, there's a certain maturity level that you get, you know, from being in the business for a certain period. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's great you have your opinions, but you know what? Your opinions aren't really going to influence the way I operate. Now, if you come at me with, you have constructive criticism and you say, hey, this might be a way that this could work better, I'm more than happy to listen. But it's just, you know, people just use any, like, they'll make fun of you for being a woman, for being gay, for having a beard, for having a gut. It just, it's the list is endless.
Yeah, no fats, no femmes, no Asians. And that mindset carries on to everything else. But you know what I've noticed? One thing I've noticed that very successful companies and artists do is that they invite that feedback to them directly from their audience, from their customers. And so it doesn't go into the public space, you know, or just curate those comments. You know, like one thing that we've done on YouTube is like, if I see a bigoted message or something that's harmful or cruel, I just delete it and block them. And 9 out of 10 times, even that person who said that mean thing, they were just talking mindlessly, you know, and I noticed this thing about like Twitter is that it's easy to fall into this trap of engaging with somebody who's trying to like get your goat.
Oh no, you just, that's why you mute, you block, but you have to, where are they coming from? They're a shame based person. Mark, you were right. I really feel like that. If someone would misinterpret something and go, oh, Devin, well, why didn't you contact me personally? If you put it out there publicly, then you're trying to shame me.
Well, it might be that restraining order you have against them that, you know.
But, you know, in terms of like the fame monster that Lady Gaga sings about, you know, I think it's an abstract thing for most people to think about their paths, their careers as fame or not fame. And it's maybe a little healthier way is what Julia Cameron talks about is the addiction of achievement. It's succeeding at an end of a project does bring a positive feeling. And even fame is, what is fame is a lot of people celebrating that achievement, but it's transitory and can be very addicting. And so one thing a lot of successful artists have done is that they celebrate the process and not worry too much about that achievement, that product, that commercialism that ultimately.
But if you don't have any sort of results, then what you're doing is a hobby.
And hobbies are okay too.
Hobbies are absolutely fine. But the issue is that when you're dealing with YouTube and Twitter, I got to tell you, I'm not a parent. And trust me, I have not a maternal bone in my body. But
you usually eat the young.
I really do worry about young people because they're so obsessed with numbers. It's like they post a photo and it's like, oh my God, I only got 1,000 likes. I really worry that that's being ingrained, that those numbers are essentially validating them instead of, hey, I did a great job at school. I got a, you know, my parents and I, we had a good conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody, you know, it's like size queens come in all ages. You know, I've been dealing with size queens my entire life. They're like, I want to see how big your dick is. I want to see how many people subscribe to your thing. I've had a lot of people from reality TV shows sit in our home and point blank ask us how much money we make. Who do we know?
How many people download the podcast? How
do, like all these numbers. They want the metrics. Yeah. As not because they're curious about our lives or as us as people, is because they're sizing their success against yours. Mm-hmm. And they're not really genuinely interested in you as a person.
I've come up with a good, good answer with that. When people ask about like specific numbers and stuff like that, I just tell them that my business manager asked me not to discuss it with people outside of the organization. Because people like when you try and like just brush it off, when they're like, how many downloads do you have? No, but really, how many? Like, they really get insistent about it, and they feel like it's their right to know in some ways. You're not valuing me for what I create. You know, we've been doing this podcast for 15 years now. You're validating it by just these numbers. And the numbers, like, if that's what you're valuing, then you're just valuing like things like you said. You're valuing the fame and not the artist way. Because, you know, to me, an interview can be a form of art.
It absolutely is. I can guarantee you, because there's some really horrific people who are, hey, so what do you do? And it's like, you couldn't take 2 minutes to just look at my website and find out, maybe?
But you know what? The core of all this is that people are lonely and people are hurting, and they want to know that they're not alone in the world and that other people struggle the way they've struggled. And so instead of saying to somebody, when they ask you how big your dick is, how many followers do you have, my answer to that question now is, how are you struggling? What are your challenges? And how can we work together to overcome those? Right. So that's like my new rethinking about what I do with the podcast. And I'm really excited about talking to you today, Devin, because you are a person who have been part of our journey in the internet and in for a lot of LGBTQ people's lives. In this podcast itself, you've been with us. You on our marriage certificate, we see your name.
That's right. I'm your number one advocate. You've been, there is some, here's the thing.
Well, advocate louder.
Well, I'm just kidding. My parents never had a resume. They only ever had one job. So I always valued putting your time in. Uh-huh. And the two of you, there's something about consistency. And I know for a fact that you two have pivoted. You kept putting out great content. You had to change some things, but you just kept, you know, you're sitting on this huge catalog, which will truly be a really great voice. I'm sure that like the Library of Congress will come to you.
I went there, but all I got was somebody tapping on the bathroom door when I was using the bathroom. is the Library of Congress like a physical place that you can cruise in the bathrooms and the stacks and stuff?
Like that? I'm sure you'll find a hole or two. I know that work, you know, that website work.com with Siobhan Dior, her website's now being cataloged for the LGBTQI section for the Library of Congress.
That's wonderful.
These are huge strides. These moments need to be captured, because you were like one of the first 50 podcasts ever. You know, what's a podcast? Is it like the radio? Where do I, you know?
Well, I was talking about this problem with my friend Ilo T. Farnsworth.
Is that from Futurama?
Do you guys know who Ilo T. Farnsworth is?
No.
Ilo T. Farnsworth is the inventor of the television set. Mm. And nobody knows who he is. And part of it is like, you don't get any rewards or respect for being a pioneer. And that's at the core, I think, of artistic struggle, is this addiction to fame or to achievement or to recognition, is that the process has to drive everything.
Well, it's maybe who recognizes you, because I know a lot of musicians have to leave their country. If you're Canadian, sometimes you have to go to Europe or America, and people go, oh, it's they like them there. Well, come on back to Canada. We sure like you now. You know what I mean? It's who puts the magnifying glass on you, because there's a lot of very pretty girls that could be models. There's a lot of really great singers. If it was just dependent upon talent alone, it would certainly be a different climate out there. But it's not. There's X factors. There's moments. Some people only get there 15 minutes because they only had one thing to offer. They didn't have a journey of an artist, and maybe they only had one thing to say. There's a lot of musicians that only have one really great album in them. Mm. You know, that was their voice. That was...
You think, are you saying that the Venga Boys are not going to put out another single other than Boom Boom Boom?
Sorry, I hate to call them out right now.
Do you know who the Venga Boys are?
Of course, I only know the one song.
We like to party. These people have been making music for like 30 years. And like, I was looking at their like publicity photos and they're all like photos from them who were 20 years old, you know?
Oh, that's so great. Are they still playing?
They're still doing stuff. They released a Christmas album 3 years ago. And all they did is add Christmas bell songs to their existing catalog.
That's so great.
And part of it is...
Go ahead.
Well, part of it is... you first.
Darling. Well, I always figure, you know, when people say, oh, bring out your inner child. But most people cut themselves off. They just, is this right? Is this what you were looking for? Do you think this will sell? Is this going to be on brand? Is this my core demographic? Mm-hmm. That is not an artist. That is some, you know, that's someone who's looking for fame.
Mm. What do you think about failure when you try something new and it doesn't get the response that you want or the people don't react to it, but you're really excited and you love it nonetheless?
Well, you as an artist must know when you've done a good job. You have to be absolutely brutal with yourself and just go, hey, this worked. And because I've seen, Emmy Award winners have great web series that had, you know, 90 people view it. Some very well-known comedians have really great, funny videos that got maybe 1,000, and they're saying, please, please watch. And it's confusing because then you do something that you might have just shat out in 2 minutes and it goes crazy, but the quality was still there. So for me, I always go back to, you have to go to your body of work. Mm-hmm. Because it's over that range. So when people say, oh, I need to do a Kickstarter for this one thing, it's going to be so great. Well, practice some things first because you need very little money. You can do it on your phone if you feel that strongly. But most people go into things ill-prepared, and the mistakes they make derail them when they should have taken a month to like figure out how to prepare first. And then do it.
Are you talking about this season's Snatch Game on RuPaul's Drag Race? Now, this is a thing. It's like, you are a comedy expert. You work as a comedy writer. You're a comedy coach, a trainer, a muse. And all these queens know who you are. They could write to you and say, I'm going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. Help me, Devin. But they don't.
I'm going to get you two characters that are very funny, plus a backup to those two characters. But as an example, mm-hmm. you may have a funny idea. You have to put it in context. You have to add to that character. What is that character's laugh? If that character is known for a catchphrase, that catchphrase can be used in one answer. So mm-hmm. what, you know, if that character wants to rap, then the rest of your answers can be funny raps or raps that don't rhyme or parodies or satirical. You need to know where to go with it. But again, it's like a joke or a gag. It just stops everything right there. You have to keep it intrinsic to the character. There's always physicalities. You as an artist should be looking at what works. Why am I tuned into this? Why am I laughing? What is it? Does the character have an arc? Could I put this character in a ton of other situations?
Mm. So let's talk about your fellow Canadians, Celine Dion and Brooklyn Heights. Where did Brooklyn Heights go wrong with Celine Dion? And what did he do right?
Well, you saw that it wasn't getting the reaction that it needed. I would certainly have dropped in trying to speak some sort of French like have the whole answer in French and just like, "Bouchers are such a pussy." You know? I would certainly have dropped in a lot more titles or things that only made sense to her. Mm-hmm. Add in a laugh. What don't we know about Celine Dion? You know, so you could even make it up. Maybe she has a secret. She likes wine or something, so she keeps drinking wine and gets more loose as things go on, you know?
Well, part of it is, like, this season of Drag Race, most of the characters on Snatch Game didn't come from, like, television or film, but from viral moments on YouTube. And so, like, the choices of Celine Dion is really a reaction to that viral video of Celine Dion is crazy and acting out and being all over the place on YouTube.
But he didn't do any of that, so I don't know if that was his inspiration.
But it could have been, you know. And so, like, and T.S. Madison is another viral phenomena, you know.
Who you can watch in our latest episode of Cooking with Drag Queens, available on YouTube.
And we got a slot hot and ready for you, Devin.
Yum, yum.
We'll stick you in our oven and eat you up.
Oh, I can't wait. Brooklyn is so talented. You know, I know for a fact that she has other great characters. So at the same time, when we were talking about people's responses to artists, please give other artists a moment of grace. You know what I mean? So they may misspeak. They might, it may not have been their attention. Something may have come out. They might have done a video which just lay there. Just give people a moment of grace and not, you know, take a sickle and cut them down to the knees, you know, because honestly, well, it's just.
Well, I hope you don't feel I was doing that. You know, Peaches Christ was on recently, and she actually recently worked with Brooklyn. She said she was really surprised by the performance because she's like, I've worked with them, and the guy's hysterical. And so the other thing is, though, too, you never, maybe there was something that was really funny and landed really well and just made the editing, the cut room floor or something like that. But, like, how do you, when you're up there, you've got to, you know, because you're filming something, I would imagine this takes hours. How do you embody, like, that character for, like, hours on end?
Oh, but it's like this. If you have an accent, for example, say you're trying to do an Irish accent as a performer. If you feel that you're losing it at any point, you go back to the one phrase, you know, oh, me lucky charms. And usually your body, that gets you back on track. Sure. Then you can go from there. But let me ask you this. Yeah. If I had do this character for a couple hours, here's $100,000, you'd step your pussy up.
You would. You know what the woman, what was Claire Foy, who did the queen, said that she when she, because she had to imitate the queen's accent, which is kind of an unusual accent, really.
Yes.
And she would always just go back to the one word, one, because she would like to get in the mindset, because like that's how she would say one. And so to kind of bring everything back to her mind thinking along, how does this queen speak?
Right. You also, you have to also know how to interact with other performers. You see this each and every single year. There's some performers who are very more stand-up like, so they're not used to. How do you diffuse them to have a more balanced scene so you're not completely consumed? Because not everybody's a type A personality, and if you're not, that's okay. You can't force that out of somebody. That's, you know, being more gentle-natured is the nicest thing about you. Why would you want to change that? I would hate for anybody to go, oh, I'm just not really loud. Well, you don't have to be loud to be funny. You don't have to follow someone else's archetype.
For the past 10 years, you have been America's best Christian, Mrs. Betty Bowers.
Correct. And a little bit longer than that. I think a little bit longer. But the traditional marriage video, you know, as these are written by the wonderful Andrew Bradley, it's our 10-year anniversary coming up.
Did he take you out to dinner or something? Or
well, do you even see him? Do you actually physically ever see him? You don't. You guys live in different places. Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We definitely do. We just had this always worked for us. Nobody said, hey, you can't really make it work like this. Well, we do.
Yeah.
And we love doing it. And the video that we just did, breaking up with Jesus just this last week. just on Facebook alone got 1.5 million.
Wow.
Well, I don't want to be a size queen,
but that's a lot.
But that's big,
you know.
But see, I want to know about like how your emotional state of mind and what's going on. Like you're doing this character for 10 years. Yeah. It's one of your greatest hits in your career. And people know well, you as
have to
much
say
as,
hour. Yeah. You have to say hour because it is with Andrew.
But you're an actor playing this role, right? You're the embodiment of this character that's written for you. And you're putting a lot of energy into bringing her to life.
Yeah, just remember, when you look at all those videos, I get it to the point, I don't even know if anybody even sees this or gives a shit, but I do them in one take.
Oh, wow.
They're not.
Are you reading off of a teleprompter or are you just memorizing the lines?
No, I would read off a teleprompter.
So that's kind of movie phone voice sort of lends itself very well to this, you know, very uptight, righteous Christian woman, you know.
Oh, how could you know, judging is next to godliness.
You do I want to say condensation. Like you're making me condescending so well. You channel that
patronizing.
So well.
Yes, I could just patronize the shit out of, because that's, you know how I am in real life. That's like it's so funny because I'm just like an idiot in real life. it's so funny, but it's really fascinating how many people, it's heartbreaking how many people have said, oh, I'm a former Catholic, I'm a former Baptist, I'm a former minister, it's just heartbreaking when the intention of all the religions was to have unity, peace, love, and kindness. Mm-hmm. And it just ends up with, you know, again, going back, revisiting the theme of shame.
Are fans disappointed when they meet you and they realize you're a nice person?
No, they actually it's bewildering because most people know me so well. They, you know, they know me. Uh-huh. And so to see me in real life and realize I'm not two-dimensional, they can touch me, or with any of the voiceover parodies that I do, people love to just scream them. I love it when people do that. I love when people tell me what their favorite lines are or send me a conversation that they've had just using quotes. It honestly makes my day. I couldn't be happier.
Which is easy enough to do with your the stickers that you sell. the keyboard emojis.
Yeah, Ned and I created them. And so there's they're animated stickers. You actually can take your finger and drag it up and put it over text. So there's one that's 99 cents, one full download, and all the updates are absolutely free. And the other sticker pack is free.
Oh, available.
Yeah, absolutely free.
Stickers are sold.
Devin, every time I look at my marriage license, it brings me so much happiness and so much joy to know that you're a part of my life forever.
Aww.
And you've sort of, since then, you married us. You've married a lot of couples. You married Varla Jean Merman.
Jean?
To herself.
I got to tell you, her and her husband, they're such great people. We love playing with them, performing with them, opening. So we're going to be in P-Town August 3rd, 5th, and 6th. This is, when you're listening, this is the year 2019.
Yay,
August 3rd, 5th, and 6th. We're going to be at the Art House. Varla Jean's going to be there. It's going to be such a great time. But, you know, when you find a mature performer who's at the top of their game, you know, you two, I know you guys go through a lot, but each year you just get more juicy and ripe.
I appreciate
really
that.
You really do. There's something
ripeness
that comes with putting your time in, because you have a maturity and a certain savvy about you that new people, they're messy.
Well, this is the thing that, like, I started this Patreon page to inspire people to make art, because I believe everybody is an artist in one way or another. And even bad ideas are still ideas. Well, okay, I want to. Well, I want to. I want people to look at the creative process as not as an end goal, but to as a celebration of life. Life is what happens in between your works of art.
Hello, thank
the process,
you.
Or you know? As Devon says, the process.
The process.
Yeah,
that's Queen's English.
It pops into my conversation every now and then. I always think of you. You know,
well, because people approach us all the time, and they're like, "How do I start podcasting? How do I start interviewing people and stuff?" And and so I wanted to create like kind of an experience for people. So if they want to come into our homes, or we meet with them, like a mentor or a graduate seminar or something on just how to make podcasts, how to express yourself, how to be creative, we could provide that for them, you know? So it's not like a situation where you're just all alone. And I feel really important talking to you because you're somebody who does that in a direct and indirect way throughout your career, and teaching, even though sometimes we're not aware of it, is something that you're doing all the time when you're playing the ukulele or being Betty Bowers or criticizing drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Look at I knew from a young age I was meant to empower other people in whatever way necessary. And so that means that the focus is never on me. Doing a show, it's about us. It's not about, hey, look at me, look at me. Having a podcast and talking with you two, it's having a conversation. It's not, hey, I've got, you know, blah, 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 blah. You two always bring out a conversation.
It's not a university. It's a we-niversity.
Touch my knob.
Devon, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and hopefully we'll see you soon. I miss you. I feel like I haven't seen you in years.
Hey, Devon, come to Chicago. Like, what, I'm doing the internet slap hands with every word, you know.
Okay, let's make this happen. Chicago, okay. I'm yours.
Come, baby, come.
And then wipe it all and then do it again.
Glug, glug, glug.
Goodbye, Devon.
I love you, boys.
Love you, too.
Devon Green lives in
Hollywood,
California. You can learn more about the fabulous Devon Green, if you don't know enough about her already, at devongreen.com. You know you're in the right place because the website is green.
But also, too, you know, we've been doing podcasts with Devon for well over a decade now. So if you're a Plus member, you can check those out. If you're not a Plus member, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fantastic people like Devon if it weren't for people who support the podcast. Also, we have a wonderful Patreon up there, and that's patreon.com/feastoffun.
Where you can get all the goodies, all the juice. Get the juice and set it loose. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Fausto Fornos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.